It's Kent Neitzert in the garden, brought to you by Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist in the studio with us today. So from his early roots in 4-H to now having the greenhouse and providing advice on the radio, who would have thunk?
Yeah, I know.
Who would have thunk?
Yeah.
And who would have thunk that that summer would have gotten away from us so quickly?
It's gone. And, you know, I want to see a show of hands out there. How many have walked across their lawn the last week or so and gone in the house and looked at their shoes and they're all brown? I've had at least three people call me this week and say, what's wrong with my shoes? And I said, well, you've walked across your lawn. There's a disease out there called rust. That is a fungal disease that gets on the grass in the conditions we've had in the last 10 days. And you walk across the lawn and your shoes are all, don't walk across the lawn in your white Bucks, because they won't be white anymore. It's a fungal disease. You can treat for it, but it's not something that's real objectionable in that it will hurt the lawn. In severe cases, it can weaken the lawn and give you some patches of weakness. But proper care and cultural practices should allow you to get through it without any fungal diseases having to add fungicides. Now if it's bad enough, you can see it. Usually, you don't notice it walking across the lawn until you get the other side and your shoes are all rusty looking. It's a powdery dust, looks like talcum powder on it. It happens when we get warm temperatures, 70 to 75 degrees over extended period of times, and the leaves stay wet like the dew we've had these cold nights. Turfs that are low in nitrogen seem to be more susceptible to disease, so you can help yourself by keeping the lawns well fertilized. But other than that, my recommendation generally is just don't walk across the lawn, then you don't know you have it.
Let it pass.
Yeah, it'll clear. But there are other things we need to do with the lawns this time of year. September and October are the best months of the year to control your perennial broadleaf weeds like dandelions and clover, because in the autumn, the weeds prepare for winter by putting nutrients down into the root system from the leaves and absorb it and move it down. And it also draws the herbicides that you apply down into the root system, and it's more effective at killing the weeds. So get your broadleaf weed killers on there if you want to control the dandelions. That's a good time to be doing that. We don't like to get out there and put that on when the grass is moist, because most people put it on in a granular form, and we want those granules to stick to the leaf while it's moist and help to absorb that moisture or that chemical that's impregnated in that granule. It's also a great time for fertilizing. The best time to fertilize is in the early fall, this month. That way we develop a really good root system on the plant, so it's really, really ready to punch out in the spring. If you're going to use one fertilizer application, usually sometime around Labor Day is the best time for that. If we're trying to be a little more, have a little better lawn, and we want to apply two fertilizers a year, we apply in May and Labor Day. If we want a little more, we go to May, Labor Day, and Halloween. And if we really want to have top quality lawns, we add Father's Day in there. So you have all those, you know, those holidays that you have off from doing
other stuff.
This gives you something to do. Usually something in the ratio of 3:1:2 or 4:1:2 is a good ratio of, and that's nitrogen to phosphorus and potassium. So we want about three times as much nitrogen on those lawns as most anything else. So something like a 21:7:14 or a 32:8:16, something like that. And we usually want to put up to about 4 pounds of nitrogen a year on, and we want to put about 1 pound of nitrogen at any particular application. So if you're using a 21:7:14, that's 21% nitrogen. So if you put 100 pounds of fertilizer on, you've put around 21 pounds of nitrogen. So you can do the math if you can't. If you can't do the math,
find a teenager.
Yeah.
Well, I know they can do the math.
They can do math because they don't know what numbers to push on the calculator. And then that's per 1,000 square feet. So figure out how many square feet you have in the lawn and get an idea of how much fertilizer to be putting down.
All right. So obviously getting ready for fall here. If you have questions for Kent about anything happening in the fall or other questions, 279-1590. That's the number to call this morning for Kent Neitzert in the garden, 279-1590.
Have you always dreamed of a lovely outdoor wedding and are starting to look for a place to hold one? Or perhaps you're looking for a peaceful, quiet outdoor area for a family or class reunion? Give Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist a call. They have nearly 7 acres of landscape grounds and display beds. There's a pond, a waterfall, and lots of flowers and trees to enhance the views. Give Neitzert's a call today at 278-4148 and get the details on using their facilities for your next outdoor event. Neitzert's, 1.5 miles south of US 12 on Fisk Road and on the web at neitzertsgreenhouse.com.
About 3 minutes before 8 o'clock for this Thursday morning here at AM 1590 and FM 95.5. Our Thursday morning feature, Kent Neitzert in the garden. And today we're talking fall grasses, getting ready for fall things. What other considerations should folks have?
Well, some other problems we've had and we've talked about in the spring this year, and that's the grub problems you get in your lawn. And maybe you've, with the relatively high moisture we've had this year, they haven't reared its head quite as bad as other seasons. But remember those grubs that you have in the lawn, if they're bad enough, and you want to try to control them. Now, the European chafer grub, which is the one that really has wreaked havoc in some lawns, has two different chemicals that we're using on it at different times of the year. In the spring and the fall, the grubs, in the fall of the year, these grubs now are mature, and they burrow down and overwinter, so they're still mature grubs in the spring. So those large grubs, we need to control with products called like 7, which has carbaryl in it. And that's we're applying that in from March to May and from September 1 to November 1. In the middle of the summer, when we're putting on there, we're using preventatives because at that time of year, those mature grubs have pupated and made beetles, and new eggs have been laid, and we've got immature grubs starting to form, and we use preventatives at that time, and that's a chemical like imidacloprid, which we'll find in different types of chemicals, different types of products that are put down. So be sure and check the bag and see which particular chemical is being used, because if you use it the wrong time of year, it doesn't work.
Yeah, you're wasting your money. All right, let's head to the phone lines now. Hi, go ahead with your question for Kent in the garden.
My question is about gladiolas. Okay. The bulbs I have are about 5 years old, and it seems like the flower stems are getting thinner, and the flower, there aren't as many flowers. Do gladiolas wear out?
You know, I would say probably the answer to that is yes, because I know the gladiola growers, they'll grow, the bulbs they use are about the size of maybe the end of your thumb. They're real small corms. And what you're probably using there is big around there, maybe 3 or 4 inches in diameter. And I think the real key is not so much the size of that corm, because it just gets the plant started. Once the plant is growing, then its vigor depends on the soil and how well you fertilize it. Because in essence, they can be, when new varieties are developed, they're grown from seed, and there's no bulb there at all. So you just, they germinate the seed and get the plant growing. Now it's important that we fertilize them well and have good soils to grow them in, so that the photosynthetic process can feed that bulb, feed that plant, to give me a nice solid stem and good leaves. And that's what helps to ensure that we have a nice strong flower on it. So if you look at the base of that big bulb when you plant, when you harvest it this year, there are lots of, should be a lot of little corms around the base of it, around the root system, and you can just peel those off with your thumb after they've dried out, and you can use those next year as well.
Okay, so I've been replanting those, so that's a good thing to do.
Right, and those bulbs, those little corms, maybe we're calling cormlets. Those are those can just as well produce flowers the following year.
Okay, and what should they be fertilized with?
Oh, I'm not sure what particularly I would fertilize glads with, because I haven't grown them in a long time. But in general, a well-balanced fertilizer, probably nothing extremely high in phosphorus, because most of our grounds in our area have plenty of phosphorus. So We use a 20-10-20 fertilizer in the greenhouse to grow with, and I would say that's probably great, maybe even a 20-20-20 fertilizer. Plant Marvel, Hyponex, those kind of things. If you really want to get serious about it, you might take a soil sample to the extension office and have it analyzed to let you know what, if I need to adjust the pH of my soil and what nutrients are really deficient. Because sometimes with a bulb like that, you'll find that we've got a trace element deficiency, like maybe we're low in boron or low in magnesium, and we need to add a little bit of that to the soil too.
Okay.
All right, good luck with it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking gladiolus today. Of course, gladiolus, huge part of the agriculture business here.
I'm glad to talk about that today, too.
Ba-dum-bum. Yes.
Yes, they are. The glad growers over around Brunson, Colon, Baroque area, I think probably the largest concentration of glads in the country.
Yeah, pretty amazing right here at right in our own backyard.
Yeah, and what is really strange is you drive by one of those fields and there are... seems like all of the flowers are standing up there and spent and going to waste, and they didn't harvest any of them, and they've actually gone through those fields and probably cut out lots and lots and lots of them, but there are lots of them that go to waste, and then they start early. I mean, they put those things in the ground in March.
Yeah, just part of the natural process.
Yep.
All right, great. So during the week, you can catch them at the greenhouse, 1.5 miles south of US 12 on Fisk Road, on the web at NightshirtsGreenhouse.com, and Thursday mornings right here on the radio. Kent Nightshirt in the garden.